check it out. Latest Rockies news, sound from postgame, latest University of Wyoming news as well. Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. Tracy
even throws some CSU crap in there every once in a while.
What's happening, Tracy? How are you doing?
Oh, it's good. I enjoyed last week when we never heard from him.
he actually has some questions for you today, I think.
I got some questions for him.
Oh, really? Are we going to reverse it?
No.
No?
He called me last week and had a question for me for which I had no answers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he speechless, Tracy?
He should have been.
Tracy's on fire today. He's coming after you.
He is.
Okay, I wanted to ask you this. It's something we've been talking about. How influential, compared to other sports, do you think Major League Baseball, like coaching staffs, managers, are in the game? I mean, compared to the other sports, in your opinion?
I think they're extremely influential. There's not decisions that get made that you don't involve them. They might have more say in their area of specialty than most any other sport, I would say, possibly, because they are they're such a strong part of anything that goes on.
I guess the part I'm asking about is during the actual playing of the game when they're out on the field, how much influence can the coaching staff have while the play is actually going on? Because unlike a lot of the other sports where there are set plays, you know, football, you run set plays, you run set defenses. Basketball, you're running certain plays, you know. With baseball, it's so much more a fluid situation as it develops, and there's no real set. You know, there's a few set plays, you know, bunts, you know, the squeezes and those kind of stuff, but most of it is so free-flowing. How much influence do they have during that actual playing of the game on the players?
Well, I mean, they don't have a lot in the way you're talking about, because you can't stop the game all the time and go out and do things, but I think they're still very much involved in a lot of the decision-making that goes on. It's just that they have to be more of an anticipating more anticipation than there is being able to control maybe the exact approach that's going to be used, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. On the pitching woes that they've had going on, how much, I guess the question is, when you're a relief pitcher and you could pitch almost every day, how much work can they do with pitchers and even the starters, I mean, as far as bullpen sessions and working on mechanics to try and get this situation straightened out? Can you do a lot of that when you have to be ready to pitch every day almost?
Well, I mean, you do it because you pick days where maybe you will intentionally not be using people. You know, you might, if you're going to have a heavy workout, it's going to be, you're going to say, you know what, the guy's not going to pitch today. We need him to get his work in. We need him to do X, Y, or Z. You don't have them go out and you can't have them go out and do a full workout and then think they're going to be ready to pitch in a game. But you can make adjustments to make sure they have that day off and they're going to use it to work on. It becomes a work day.
What did the Rockies do with Brian Shaw right now? I mean, does he need to sit for a while? I mean, what is your opinion there?
Euthanasia.
Euthanasia? Wow. That's a little extreme.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to sit for a while. I mean, that's why he suddenly wound up on the disabled list. You know, I mean,
okay.
I think it's designed to just say, you know, catch your breath. You get into that. I think what you get into is, I mean, Clint Hurdle used to describe it as the male driver. I think we've talked about that before, right?
No, I don't know if have.
You're out, you're driving, and your wife says, are we lost? Oh, no, we're fine. And so then you drive a little faster, right? The male instinct takes over. And then she goes, are you sure we're not lost? Yeah, I'm sure. So then you drive a little faster. Well, why don't you pull over at that gas station and ask for directions? I don't need directions. And I think that's what happens a lot of times with pitchers when they struggle. And you, you know, the body language with Shaw the last couple of times he pitched was, it was like he was trying to throw five pitches in 32 seconds. You know, it was like, he just looked nervous. He looked uneasy. And, you know, you can say whatever you want afterwards, and I don't blame him. I mean, you're not going to sit there and say, yeah, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. But there's no way that you can continually go out there, particularly when you have a track record like he does, and pitch poorly and be comfortable with it. You know, it's not what you get paid for. And, you know, these guys have a lot of pride. I mean, I think most people, and whatever anybody does in work, they usually have a lot of pride if they've had any type of success. And this guy has had success. It's not like you're sitting there saying, gosh, you know, we were gambling that this guy might be okay, and he hasn't worked out. I mean, this is a guy that had a track record, right? This is a guy that... you know, you weren't saying that you're taking a stab in the dark with. And so if he doesn't get a little anxious, then he's not a human being.
I guess a couple other questions I would have is, last week it looked like McMahon was playing really well. He had a two-run RBI that gave him the lead. He had a three-run homer. I thought he was playing well and hitting the ball well, and they sent him down and brought the young pitcher up, which I understood, but then they turned right around and sent the pitcher back to Albuquerque, and they brought Valinka back. And I didn't understand with McMahon, the way he was playing, that why you would send him down and bring Valinka up. And I know they want to get him more at-bats, but McMahon's bat doesn't do you much good with the big club if he's hitting in Albuquerque. I didn't understand that move. Maybe you can explain it to us.
Well, the first one is you brought Valinka up because you couldn't bring him back. You have to stay down at least 10 days if you get sent down.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, unless there had been an injury that he was coming up to replace. But I think the biggest thing is, particularly with a young player, he's starting to get going a little bit, but what you want to avoid, Dave, is you want to avoid, or you want to create the opportunity for him to maybe stretch it out a little bit and not sit around too much, because, you know, it's one thing that that younger players usually haven't done is they haven't sat around and they haven't had to figure out a way to stay ready because they're always the best player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what happens in that situation is, you know, we need to get him back down. We need to get him some regular bats and get him fresh, because who knows when you might need him for something more than two pinch hits a week. And, you know, for a young guy with his swing, he can't hit a fastball. And if he can't hit a fastball, you're not going to stay up here. You know, I mean, that was a changeup that he hit out of the ballpark, that he was able to pull out of the ballpark. And if he's going to be the player he's capable of being, he's going to learn how to turn on a fastball. He's going to learn how to hit it. Well, it's going to be a lot easier to work with him on that at that next level, at that level down. So, you know, I think they feel there's a lot of potential there, but you want to make sure that you're going to give him the opportunity to succeed.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here. InsideTheSeams.com is his website. Check it out for the latest in Major League Baseball, Rockies news, University of Wyoming as well. I know we ask you this a lot, Tracy, about Nolan. I mean, he just continues to do amazing things. Who's a better player right now in Major League Baseball than Nolan Arenado, in your opinion?
No one.
I agree. I agree 100% with you.
Yeah. He's, to me, he's the best player in the game. And, you know, it's Jack Aitken and I were talking the other day. He's so good that people are getting past the stage of saying, well, he's playing in Coors Field. And for a guy that plays in Coors Field, that's probably the ultimate compliment that you could get, is that people quit harping on, well, yeah, but he's in Coors Field. I mean, he's just, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen a better defensive player. He's, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this, but I mean, I go back to when Larry Boa was here as a Dodger coach a couple years ago, and we were talking about Nolan. He goes, actually, you know what? It wasn't when he was a Dodger coach. I take it back. It was when he was in Philadelphia after he was with the Dodgers, mm-hmm. right? And we were talking, and he said, you know, I tell my wife, one of the really neat things about being back in Philadelphia is we have a home game. I can get home and watch the last 5 or 6 innings of a Rockies game. And she asked me why, and I said, well, remember how good we used to think Mike Schmidt was? Mike Schmidt's not as good as this guy. I can watch this guy play. And if you pay attention to ball, for him to even acknowledge that a young player is any good, much less better than Schmidt, it's an ultimate compliment. You know, and the other one I think of is I really enjoy listening to Kruko and Kuiper. And thanks to the MLB package, I get that opportunity a lot. And one night, the Rockies were on the East Coast, and I was watching the Giants game, and third baseman makes a great play, and Kruko's doing the play-by-play, and he goes, there's no other third baseman that can make the play, and Kuiper, without even hesitating, goes, except Nolan Arenado. So, I mean, I think that's how good he is. He's good enough that nobody says, well, yeah, but he plays at Coors Field.
And the people that do say that are just ignorant.
Well, they're just looking for something to complain
right.
about. Yeah.
I don't remember, you know, I remember Mike Schmidt vaguely more for his bat when growing up. I don't remember his defense, and maybe it's just because I was so young at the time. I don't remember his defense being that good. Was he a Gold Glove type third baseman, right?
Yeah, pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Nolan just does, and I asked him once, I go, your reactions, he goes, well, I'm thinking about those plays. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, before every ball's hit, I start to think of, when I know what the pitch is and stuff, it's like, okay, he could do this with a ball, he can do that with a ball. If I have to go to my left, if I have to go to my right, how fast is this guy? What do I do next? I mean, he's always got his mind going at what the next move is. He's never just, he's not just reacting, he's thinking through things.
That's not easy for a third baseman, really, to know what pitch is coming, right? I mean, you can't really see the sign. You can't really. He's kind of shielded from where the catcher is setting up and the angle. It's tough to know.
You have to try to understand what's going on. You have to try to understand the game well enough to anticipate. You know, not bad for a kid that was a fat cat that they thought would be a fat catcher when they signed.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm gonna go a step farther. I don't know, and I've been watching baseball for a lot of years. I'm hard-pressed to come up with an infield. Now, Desmond is playing first base, and he didn't play a lot there, but he's doing, I think, a heck of a job at first base. I'm hard-pressed to come up with an infield that's better than what the Colorado Rockies put out there night after night with Arenado, with the shortstop and LeMahieu and Desmond. Story, you know, I'm just hard pressed to come up with an infield that's any better than that.
I've got one.
Okay,
Tracy's gonna laugh at me for this.
It must be Cardinal.
Terry Pendleton, Ozzie Smith, Tommy Hearn. I've got to throw Jack Clark in there, right? He was an amazing first baseman.
You think?
All right.
Yeah, missed a nice pop up in the World Series. If the Cardinals win a World Series, they don't have to blame the umpire.
I know. I knew you'd love that one. I know. I knew you'd love it. I just had to throw that out.
Trevor Story doesn't turn somersaults doesn't mean he's not an above average defensive shortstop.
Yeah.
I knew Tracy would
get me. Whenever I see Alan Trammell has to get it voted in by the Veterans Committee, the only thing he didn't do better than Ozzie was turn somersaults.
Well, you got to do, you got to do the flips, you know, before games.
You know, Ozzie might have been one of the nastiest teammates in the history of the game.
Right, I remember you telling us about that.
You know, because I said when Royce Clayton was here, and a young Clint Barmas was talking about everything Clayton did for him, and I said to Clayton, I go, you know, it's kind of unusual. It's kind of nice to see a guy in your position go out of your way to help the guy that's coming up to replace you. He goes, after the way I was treated by Ozzie Smith when I was a young player, I swore I would never do anything to undermine a young player, that I would do everything I could to help him. I couldn't have been treated worse by a human being than I was treated by Ozzie Smith.
Wow. I know you've said that a bunch of times. I was just mainly teasing.
I know, but I'm not going to put up with it.
I thought the Jack Clark one would get you even better. That
well,
was
I kinda, yeah, I mean, Jack Clark is still a hero in Kansas City. They just talk about the Jack Clark game, not the Don Dinkins game.
Didn't they build a statue to him in Kansas City?
Yeah, a statue. He modeled for it in game 6 of the 1985 World Series in the 8th inning. He was modeling to be a statue.
I think the Cardinals have a statue of Niedenfuhr in their ballpark from that. Tracy, always good to hear from you. Thanks.
Okay, guys.
See ya.
See you, Trace.
There you go, bye. Tracy Ringlesby.